Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is the voice of the American Redoubt coming at you live on AM 630 in Eastern Washington and North Idaho. Thank you so much for joining me. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host. Hopefully you're all out there being safe this Memorial Day weekend and that you are remembering what it is really all about. We're taking the time to remember those who paid the ultimate price defending our liberty, defending our nation, defending everything that we believe in and stand for and that this country was built on. Happy Memorial Day weekend to all of you. And welcome to all of you that are outside the wire in occupied territory listening to the live streaming, tuning in for hope and encouragement and for the message to be reminded that you are not alone. And blessings to you who are making the strategic move to relocate, to get out of wherever you are, where you're being oppressed and crushed by the leftist agenda, and you are strategically relocating to where patriots are gathering, the American Redoubt, or the American Redoubt. And that is Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and the eastern portions of Oregon and Washington. Thank you guys for your prayers and support this week. It has just been an amazing roller coaster this week for the Patriots, with a couple of hits and a couple of victories that we can celebrate and stand together. And it's making patriots stronger. And I'm talking about God-fearing patriots. You can learn more about what we are all about if you're new and just tuning in and maybe you're not familiar with Radio Free Redoubt. You can go to www.radiofreeredoubt.com. That's REDOUBT. The B is silent. And also, to help spread the word, go to or send your friends, like-minded friends and family, to RadioForReadout.com. On the right-hand side, click on the banner. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show on 6:30 a.m. That way you can listen live streaming. You can download the app to your mobile device and listen on the go and share that with others. Now, we'll see. Where do I want to start here? I also always want to remind you guys, you can also go to acn.cc and click on the bell, and that will take you to Liberty Broadcasting, which is another way that you can listen as well. They got the live streaming over there. So we've got a special guest that I'm looking forward to speaking with a little bit later that I met last year at the God and Country, actually before that, who's in the fight for property rights, which is something that we've been talking about lately. But we're going to go, be here in Washington, on the Washington side of the border, because we've been kind of focusing on some of the issues that have been going on in Idaho. But we're all in the same fight. These are the same type of adversaries everywhere. And they're implementing a plan that is, it's clearly, arguably, a global driven, but they realize they can't get their agenda through by forcing it from the top down. So they're going straight into the local communities and injecting these plans, global plans. And we're going to talk about how they are doing that and then what you can do to resist it. Pretty good stuff. You know what? I think we should just get right into the news and commentary, talking about some of the issues that affect you and me as God-fearing patriots, and for our situational awareness, so we know what to pray for, so we know where to concentrate our firepower and join forces together. We're going to talk about some of the things that are going on. And first, a couple of testimonies. We had some victories, patriots. Two, one in Oregon and one in Kootenai County. And you know that I've been talking about the Sugar Pine Mine incident where the BLM was threatening to shut down and confiscate the equipment of some miners. Over in Oregon at the Gallus Mining District, several Oath Keepers and the 3%er and other patriot groups gathered together to physically guard the mine from their equipment being confiscated without due process of law. And it was clearly it was in violation of, well, the Constitution. It was in violation of property rights. There was violations all across the board. But through administrative practices that our federal government has become so fond of, because they don't need a law in place. It's just their policy is our procedure, departmental procedures. And that included being able to confiscate property without the due process of law, which was what the miners were calling for help over. Well, it worked so far. Just this week, the security and guard elements that were protecting the mine physically have stood down because a judge has issued a stay against the BLM so that no enforcement action can be taken whatsoever at the Gallus Mining District at the Sugar Pine Mine until a court proceeding and court dates and everything else. So in other words, due process, which was the whole goal. Now, this fight's not over, and we're claiming victory because if the concerned patriots hadn't physically armed themselves and stood on the property, protecting it from being confiscated, sure enough, it would have been gone in the middle of the night 2 weeks ago. And their mine caved in and shut down without due process. So the miners have a very, very powerful case, but they just wanted their opportunity to present their case, which is what the BLM did not want. So as this stands now, however, part of the agreement for this judge issuing the stay against the enforcement action against the BLM also prohibits the miners from operating their mine until this court proceeding can take place and they can go through the due process of law. So that almost falls within the violation of innocent until proven guilty, doesn't it? You should be innocent so they're going to stop you from doing what you have the legal right to do because an administrator with the BLM thinks that you shouldn't have that equipment on your property. We're going to confiscate it. Oh, we can't. Well, then you can't mine until we go to the courts with this. But anyway, we're declaring victory. Another victory. You guys are aware also that we've been talking on Radio Free Redoubt about the Kootenai County rezoning process that has been – it was an application where a developer wanted to break down a large piece of property to put in high-density housing in a rural area. Now, we know that one of the things that we're up against is a plan on the federal government level and higher to begin urbanizing and building urban centers in rural America. And not only does this devalue the property of those that are living in that area, it opens up all kinds of other issues. Infrastructure issues, economic impact issues, lifestyle impact issues. And the problem is once you urbanize, which is the word they use, the developers use, to build an urban center they thought would be great for Kootenai County in the middle of rural Kootenai County. It would be good for it. Well, the citizens said, we don't think so. And the last meeting last month, there was like 400 or 500 people in attendance, and this time there were close to 1,000. The numbers doubled. Everyone wore red to show unification or unity. They were respectful and they were assertive, and they presented their case. And the Kootenai County Board of Commissioners voted down this rezoning, which would have put 80-some homes on 30 acres. No, more than that, less than that. It was a lot. And it was, this was phase one of this large tract of property that they have out there. This is, it would have been building a whole new city, high density, changing it forever. So two of them voted nay, one abstained. And so it's good stuff. And of course, it was funny because they had some proponents up there speaking. Their turn. Why do you think we should have this? And of course, one guy is obviously a stooge for the developer. He said the rezoning would actually benefit the new subdivision out in the middle of rural Kootenai County. It would avert vehicle versus wildlife collisions because it would frighten the game animals, pushing them further down the road where they could use game migration tunnels underneath Highway 95. So anyway, I think he must have gone to the same public relations school as those in the White House. It was amusing. So victory. And now from the administration, which vowed to be the most transparent administration in American presidential history, Senate Republicans give Obama new powers, but the details remain classified. President Obama won a big victory for his trade agenda Friday with the Senate's approval of fast-track legislation that could make it easier for him to complete a wide-ranging trade deal that would include 11 Pacific Rim nations. A coalition of 48 Senate Republicans and 14 Democrats voted for Trade Promotion Authority. That's what they're calling it, TPA, sending the legislation to a difficult fight in the House. Will it really be a difficult fight? They're selling us out from Washington, D.C., so I don't really anticipate a difficult fight. And much of this stuff, it also, thenewamerican.com revealed that this secret trade agreement puts international tribunal above U.S. law. And this is probably the classified part they didn't want you to know about. But Wednesday morning, a document was leaked that reveals President Obama's plans to surrender American sovereignty to international tribunals. If you don't know what the New American is, it's the magazine side of the John Birch Society, which have been decades-long watchdogs pointing out the communist agenda in our country, and they've done a great job. Now, this is one of several frightening provisions of the Trans-Pacific Strategic Economic Partnership, also known as the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, being negotiated in secret by American trade representatives. In the now it's a public document, but as part of its membership, the TPP, the United States would agree to exempt foreign corporations from our laws and regulations, placing the resolution of any disputes as to the applicability of those matters to foreign business in the hands of an international arbitration tribunal overseen by the Secretary General of the United Nations. Now, the leaked information confirms the fears of many who have opposed this trade agreement from the beginning. Several groups from the left and the right have decried the shroud of secrecy covering the TPP negotiations and are now vindicated by Wednesday's revelations. They're saying this poses an even wider problem, though. Obama is negotiating a trade pact that would constitute a judicial authority higher than even the U.S. Supreme Court that could overrule federal court rulings applying U.S. law to foreign companies. And that's unconstitutional. The U.S. cannot be allowed to enter a treaty that would abrogate our Constitution. It's pretty simple. Speaking of abrogating, or not actually violating our Constitution, dismissing our Constitution, the new snooping bill, well, it got shut down, the extension this week. But it was kind of interesting, some of the testimony. With the NSA, without a warrant, without due process, without a probable cause, without justification, can collect your communications data. Phone call, phone records, communications, emails, all of this. And what's interesting is that the FBI admits that the Patriot Act snooping powers didn't crack any terrorist attacks. From the Washington Times, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, saying the agents can't point to any major terrorism cases they've cracked thanks to the key snooping powers in the Patriot Act. The Justice Department's Inspector General said in a report Thursday that could complicate efforts to keep key parts of the law operating. Well, the key parts of the law are in violation of the supreme law, which is the Constitution. So it's not even a law in the first place. It's null and void. Why would you want to keep key parts of an illegal law operating, especially if it's not doing anything that it's intended to do? You haven't cracked one major terrorism case because of this. According to your testimony, FBI. On the social and religious front, parents and churches are being warned about the latest controversial move by the Boy Scouts of America. From One News Now, in a speech Thursday in Atlanta, the Scouts annual meeting, BSA President Robert Gates said the organization's membership standards cannot be sustained. He was hinting at a policy revision to allow homosexuals to act as leaders and mentors to Scouts. Randy Sharp, who's the director of special projects at the American Family Association, said the Boy Scouts are playing with a clear and present danger and parents should be aware. He says, we would urge all parents to immediately remove their sons from the Boy Scouts of America. Sharp was speaking for the pro-family group, and that's what he told One News Now. He said homosexual leaders are poised to influence boys about their sexuality, and their presence subjects boys to opportunities for sexual abuse by their trusted leaders. Amen. Yeah, if they do that, yank them. Boys out of the Boy Scouts. There's some alternatives too. There's the Royal Rangers, which is a Christian-based scouting group. Very organized, very effective. A great organization. And there's another one that somebody was trying to – I'm going to have to do some research. I did this a while back, but I can't remember – I can't recall the name of the organization. It was an alternative. As soon as they changed their policy about scouts, homosexual scouts being in the organization, they still retain the same policy of not allowing homosexual leadership in. But it looks like they're starting to make their arguments for changing that policy as well. Texas lawmakers are ensuring pastors and religious freedom remain protected in the Lone Star State. The pastor protection bill that passed the House and Senate will become law with the governor's signature. Comes after pastors in Houston were targeted last year during a lawsuit filed against the city and its lesbian mayor. Some Texas lawmakers anticipating that homosexual activists would make further attempts to pressure pastors got to work, and they passed a bill that declares government at any level should not and cannot be allowed to punish our clergy and churches for following their faith in marriage. You know why I have a problem with this? Because it protects the clergy and the churches on following their faith on marriage. It does nothing to protect the citizen. This does not protect the bed and breakfast owner, the flower shop owner, the cake baker owner. This does nothing to protect the citizen. Since when was the Constitution and the First Amendment written for clergy? Once again, here's another state setting up laws to protect clergy and churches, but not the citizens. Throw them to the curb. You're really going to throw them under the bus. I don't understand this. Why are our legislators not asserting the First Amendment protections for the citizens? I'd like to know that. If somebody has an answer for that one. There's another one. It slipped away. I just clicked the wrong button. An atheist group wants to court-martial United States Air Force general for sharing his faith. What? This is the second or third one now? We need to pray for our chaplains. They are under attack in our military. Or the tip of the spear, our military, for our national defense. they are purging anything Christian from it. Anti-Christian zealots are calling for the court-martial of an Air Force general for publicly giving his Christian testimony while in uniform. Shame on him, huh? We'll be back in a moment. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt.
How rare is it for a government to let expire a temporary tax? And how many times have you known government to repeal any measure which grants power to itself or removes liberty from the citizens? I can count the number of times on one finger and a thumb, with their tips touching one another, of course. John Adams said, "A constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty, once lost, is lost forever." There is an exception, however, and that is when things begin anew. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Hardly a shot was fired. With ruthless propaganda and clever political intrigue, the Soviets captured control of five free governments and sealed off 70 million people behind an iron curtain.
Number 7. Strive constantly for spiritual growth. We, as individuals, can push the world along toward mankind's highest destiny if each of us will make the welfare of his fellow man his first concern, and if each of us will apply the principles of God's truth to our political and economic affairs.
Hey, this is Jordan Page, and you're tuned into Radio Free Readout.
Welcome back from the break. This is segment 2 at the Voice of the American Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. Thank you for tuning in. I want to remind you, there is an event coming up July 3rd through the 5th. That's going to be an awesome weekend. God and Country Celebration. There's going to be several activities for children and adults alike, with a lot of workshops, strategic briefings, 4th of July celebrations, some great speakers. Well, some great speakers, plus I'll be speaking. And so we're looking forward to that. And it's going to be a lot of fun. But hey, if you act now, you can save 20% on your registration and your camping fees on June. If you get your registration in by June 10th, you'll be able to take advantage of that. Now, we have a guest. Speaking of God and country, we have a guest that is going to probably be there, and we're talking about a patriot who is in the fight on a regular basis, on day to day. I have signed up for her newsletters because they are so on top of property rights issues and identifying the adversaries and the tactics that they're using and rallying patriots against the agenda. These are the difference between patriots and patriotic people. Patriotic people are putting their flags up this weekend so they can go ride their four-wheelers and remember Memorial Day. Patriots are the ones that are in the fight while you're enjoying yourself and enjoying your freedom that other people fought for. These people are continuing to fight for it on a regular basis. They're doing what the founders called us to do, and that is to be eternally vigilant and to guard that jewel with jealousy. And so it's my pleasure to welcome from the Citizens Alliance for Property Rights, Renee Holiday. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
How are you doing? You got any big plans for Memorial Day weekend?
No, not really.
like
you know,
me.
Just kind of standard average stuff, I suppose. Nothing major.
Yeah. Well, you probably need a little bit of a break because you have been fighting tooth and nail for property rights and liberty in general. Now, I've been really talking quite a bit about on the Idaho side of the border, because they've got some really pressing issues they've been dealing with the Northwest Property Owners Alliance. And then on the Washington side here, we've got a very similar group doing the same things. That's the Citizens Alliance for Property Rights. So one, and that's mostly based in right now in Stevens County. Is that correct?
Well, actually, the Citizens Alliance for Property Rights, CAPR, has 15 chapters in 15 different counties in Washington State right now. So the Stevens County chapter is the last one so far to join the CAPR group. But, yeah, so there's actually 15 different branches right now. So you know, we're all working on all of our own individual, you know, subjects and focuses, but they're all primarily the same thing. So just different aspects of each one, I suppose. But
okay. Well, that's good, because that's an effective group, 15 different chapters in the various counties around Western Washington. And let's talk about this. So if you would introduce the Citizens Alliance for Property Rights, CAPR, the organization, to the listener, and exactly what your mission is, what it is that you're up against on a regular basis.
Okay, well, CAPR got started, geez, I think over a decade ago now. I know that when I had started doing a lot of the research for my book, which has been, well, let's see, all that started 9 years ago when I started the research and started being active, and they were already going at that point, and they were already fighting things on the west side of the state, such as like critical areas ordinances, and they just call them CAOs. And they're also fighting things like, you know, wetlands determinations and the shoreline management plan, where essentially, what is the biggest taker of property rights now is any declaration of water areas. So, in essence, what is happening in Washington State, which is also reflective of what's happening in each state in the nation, is that property rights are being taken through water restriction. And so, and the whole underlying cause of property rights destruction is the ability to control both food and water. So
yeah,
that's kind of the bottom line for everything that we're fighting with property rights.
Well, you know, that I've seen for a while a fight coming with the drought, which I believe is actually spiritually related. I think that we're under judgment, and this is just the beginning. But with California, the state of California going through this, what they're beginning to start redefining as a mega drought that will have far-reaching consequences, is affecting the food supply. And of course, it's inherently affected their water supply. And of course, we know one thing about tyrannous regimes in the past, they always use food as a weapon. Of course, water ties right into that. And I also see a fight in the future with other surrounding states that are affected by a super drought or a mega drought to start targeting the water systems of their neighbors to the north, us. And have you seen any indication of that?
Well, yeah, that's going on in Washington as we speak. You know, even just watching Avista, who wants to sell all of our hydropower electricity to other states that will pay more. So, you know, they're encouraging everybody to stop using so much energy so they have more to sell to somebody else for more money, right? And so the same thing is true with water. You know, they're trying to say that, you know, oh, well, we have to watch our water usage so that we can sell more water rights down, you know, down to some other state, you know, and especially California and you know, so on. And so it's less of there really being an issue with water and more of there really being an issue with them wanting to make more money off of what we've got here. And so we also have to be really aware and careful when we hear them say statements like, you know, the food supply is under threat because, you know, the food supply is diminishing and our ability to produce food is becoming less and less. That's a huge, huge deceitful statement. Not on your part. Not on your part. I'm saying that the media that is promoting that is essentially telling an outright lie. And let me give you some examples as to why that is deceptive. Because, throughout, I would say, the past 50 years, the government has been very instrumental in things like directing farmers and, you know, their production programs and plans, and offering things that, like the CRP program, which is the crop rotation program. And I have firsthand experience with that through my grandparents, because they had a 2,500 acre farm in eastern Montana. And what happened in that area, you know, when I was growing up, that whole area was a vibrant, healthy, alive country with, you know, farms from, you know, as far as the eye could see. And all you would ever see were crop patterns. You know, you'd see, like, it looked like a quilt when you looked out across the horizon, because it was constant wheat, barley, you know, whatever the crop was, and as far as the eye could see. Well, and so, you know, this is millions and millions and millions of acres under active farming. And since then, what has happened in that area, and what has also happened largely everywhere else, because the same programs were offered, is that the government came in and offered these CRP programs, which encourages the farmer not to plant any more crops and instead to plant it in native grasses. And so What happened to that whole area, which is, you know, just kind of astounding to even drive through that area now, because all those little towns that used to be thriving and vibrant and productive, they're all like ghost towns now, because these CRP programs offer to pay the farmer not to produce anything. And so Then everybody goes, okay, well, I'm getting old anyway. I might as well just take my CRP check and move into town and call it good, you know, because you're still getting paid. You just get paid to do nothing. And so, in fact, you get paid to not produce food. And so, you know, when I go over to those places, it's sad, you know, because I go, wow, that is just, I mean, so many millions of acres that is now completely unused. It's all planted back into native grasses for the wildlife. And nobody lives out there. There's still entire farms that are established just standing up there with nobody out there, no equipment running, nothing. And so, you know, when I hear the statements like, well, the food supply is in threat, or, you know, there's a shortage of food supply, I go, that's nonsense. You know,
Well, you're right, and it goes back to the food being used as a weapon. There are food shortages that will be created. The food shortages will be real. There's no reason for anybody in this world to starve with the food production capabilities that exist. So if there's a food shortage, it's because of some type of interference. Whether you're in Sudan and you got this Muslim army coming through, burning your crops to the ground to starve you out, or whether it's government controlling what farmland and moving the farmers into town. How convenient, just letting the farms rot. And then you've got in California whole hillsides that used to be rolling fields of orchards and other food production are now just dust bowls, just withered vines all across the hillsides.
Right, and, exactly.
And of course, then they're charging. Then because of the water shortage, they're charging the farmers astronomical prices for this water mitigation plan, where they can't even afford to make a profit on their food production there because of the cost of water. It is quite a It's a mess right now.
Well, yeah, and especially when, you know, farming has never really produced wealthy men. You know what I mean? It's like people do it because it's a good way of life, and it is an income, and it does provide, but it doesn't make you rich, you know? And so it's like, you know, cutting costs everywhere you have is kind of how it works. And so like you're saying where, you know, any additional expense makes it undoable, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's exactly what happens if they can't afford to keep going, it's done. So, and then, you know, especially like, again, in reference to the CRP programs, where everybody moved into town, and that older generation is either completely retired or has maybe even passed away by now, you know. Are they really teaching the next generation to keep the next thing going, you know? So,
right. Of course not, unless it's being taken over by, you know, the massive corporate level type of farming. And, you know, which is very, very controlled. And now in Washington state, let's talk about CAPR and some of the issues that you guys are attacking right now. I know that speaking of farming or ranching, there have been some issues related to water. They're using water as the weapon to leverage control over some of these. There's a 3,000 acre farm that some ranchers got, and the Department of Energy is they're putting some pressure on this rancher because they're saying that he's affecting the water or the water quality, and they're trying to limit the use of his land. Are you familiar with that story?
Yeah, I know those people, and in fact, I'll just tell this story. And usually, I don't use the guy's name because I, you know, had initially wanted to save him from any kind of repercussions. But it's such a well-known story now. It's not like, you know, most people that are associated with cattle don't already know. But what has happened is Len McIrvin is a prominent cattleman in our area. And in one of his locations where he grazes his cattle, which is primarily bottomland, you know, I mean, anybody that has been into livestock and farming knows that throughout history, the best land that you can get is bottomland because it's typically subirrigated where, you know, that just means it's a high water table, but the water doesn't reach the surface. And so what that ends up producing is more or less never-ending grass, you know. It's fantastic, and that was the most sought-after land to have. And so, you know, these people worked hard in order to be able to work up to be able to buy this kind of high-quality land for their livestock. And so in one of his locations, he had 3,200 acres, and it ran about 3.5 miles along the Colville River. And he also has, you know, a significant number of cows, and he manages it well. You know, you'd think that if you've got a large number of cows, it might be getting kind of iffy, but it's not, because he puts them on the highest yielding grass areas. You know, it's just smart business. You know, it's just kind of standard logic 101. And you know, you put your animals where the best producing grass is. So he had his cows there along the river, and Department of Ecology came to him and said, well, you know, we can see that you have all these cows. In fact, he estimated, and I think he told me something like 2,300 cows or something that are, you know, moms and babies, and on 3,200 acres. And so, you know, mentally you might visualize that would be like a dirt field. It's not. It was solid, solid dark green. You almost, like I said, you can't get rid of that kind of grass. It looked like a golf course or better, you know, the grass is even thicker. And so, wow. So anyway, when a typical unknowledgeable person from the city will come out and see that many cows standing there in the grass, you know, across 3,200 acres and spanning 3.5 miles, it's not wall-to-wall cows or anything by any means, but still you see that many cows, and you might just ignorantly assume that wow, those cows would surely be polluting the water running through there, right? Well, so Department of Ecology, they basically made that accusation. It was they accused him of polluting the water in the Colville River without having done any tests, and they told him, you're going to have to fence off that entire 3,200 acres because we want the fences to go to 35 feet beyond the highest watermark.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. Kits are available in OD Green, Coyote, Black, and ACU. $89 include shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
Communist propaganda, which left unchallenged, could speed up their goal of world domination. We are in the midst of a continuing struggle for the minds of men.
The studio phone lines are now open, 1-877-999-7684.
Radio Free Readout, segment three, and the final segment here. Sorry about the little mix-up there with our audio. We've got all kinds of wires crossed, and we discovered something that there is when one person is talking, it cuts out your incoming audio. And so, anyway, we're trying to work through that. We've got some equipment that we're going to be upgrading to help minimize that in the future. But every now and then, one gets away from us. So. But anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. And if you are just tuning in late, we are talking to Renee Holiday from CAPER. And that is the Citizens Alliance for Property Rights. And talking about how the government is reaching into the arena of private property ownership and trying to restrict, in this case, another rancher. We've talked about several issues today. And also, yeah, the phone lines are open too. So feel free to call in if you got any questions, if you got a personal story or you want to reach out to try to find some help from somebody and you need someone to intervene for you, CAPER might be the right organization for you. But if you want to call in, the number is 1-877-999-7684. Now, Renee, before we took the break, I want to come back to this story that you're talking about, because this is just being repeated in so many places across the country. And I want to come back to that. But you had mentioned a book that actually you sent to me a couple of weeks ago. Oh no, it's been longer than that now. But can you just introduce that book to the listeners for us?
Yeah, that's a book that I wrote in 2012, and it's called The Perils of Sustainable Development.
And where can they go to purchase that?
Well, I used to have it on Amazon.com, and right now I'm kind of in the middle of establishing my own website for it. It has done really well, and so I'm kind of trying to, pull back from Amazon.com if I can. So actually right now it's probably only available locally through the CAPER group, but you could also mail. You'd have to do snail mail, but at this time, there's we're kind of in between establishing the website for it.
Sure.
But it has done well, and like the Senate-sanctioned militia of Montana, it's required reading for all their members, and it's also done really well with groups nationally, like the gold miners groups, any of the oil drillers, those kind of groups, they've all really taken to the book as well. So,
good deal.
And especially property rights, because that's essentially what sustainable development is attacking, is property rights and Christianity. So.
And sustainable development is another catchphrase or code word, but you know, to disguise Agenda 21.
Right. Right. Yeah. A sustainable development. The best way to define it was done by the previous Prime Minister of the UK, Tony Blair, when he said there is capitalism, there's communism, and now there's sustainable development. And so sustainable development, unbeknownst to most people, is actually a form of governance. So, and it's an eco-environmentalism-based governance of regulations, where government is a system of government based on laws, and governance is a system of governance based on regulation and permitting. So that's, you know, that's kind of how that goes. But
yeah, it's almost kind of like the globalist version of Islam. It's a total system of control based on, you know, and it's the green, I call it the green cult.
Right. Well, for sure. It's actually pagan based. It puts the environment and wildlife over mankind, and anything that does that is considered paganism. And so, in fact, in our local CAPR group, our major movement starting this year is called Man Over Environment, Genesis 1:28. And you know, this is going to be a movement where it's not just this year, it's going to be from here on out, where we're trying to, you know, keep the Greenies from being successful with putting the environment over the importance of mankind, and trying to kind of at least bring some focus back to, oh, no, that's completely out of balance. We need to bring it back to, you know, the biblical reference where it says, you know, we have dominion over these things and for a reason. So.
Yes. Absolutely. Now, and this man over environment, is that because I'm making some notes. Is that a series of presentations that you're doing, or can you give me some more information on that, and for the listeners?
It's kind of our to frame it up. I guess you could say everything we're working on falls under that outline, to where we're trying to protect our property rights and our water rights, our ability to grow food, and, you know, keep control of our own water. That keeps everything straight under Genesis 1:28. Whereas all of the environmental regulation, you know, turns it upside down, where environmental regulation says, oh no, this water over here is more important than you and your farm and your family. And, you know, or this herd of elk over here is more important than you and your family, or this fish is more important. You know, that's essentially the bottom line of what we're fighting is, you know, if you really wanted to just cut all the way right down to the very bottom, it's, you know, Christianity and the Judeo-Christian complex fighting a pagan agenda. So.
Well, you're dead on. It's a system that's used to implement control. That's all it is. They come up with a way to tax people on nothingness, you know, so they come up with a carbon footprint tax, and now they're doing the same thing. We're taxing people for water usage, for electricity, because it's the extra electricity is hydroelectric power. And of course, everything related to water has to cost three times as much because we're having a shortage, even though it didn't cost any more or less to produce. So, I mean, the whole thing's a scam. But and the pushers, you know, are successful in getting the gullible, useful idiots to just swallow the whole thing hook, line, and sinker. So we're not only up against battling the pushers, we're battling the duped. And and so it's a frustrating process. And I know you guys have just been working so hard at that. And let's talk about this farmer, because before we went to the break, you were talking about the cattle, the number of cattle, and what one would think would be contributing to the pollution of the the bordering river that goes, you know, along that piece of property. But how do they account for all of the hundreds, if not thousands, of wild game, bears, moose, deer, elk, and everything else just walking through the water? And
well, right. And see, they aren't willing to take that into account, because best available science shows that over 51% of all water contamination and pollution comes from the avian section, you know, birds.
Yes.
And so we're talking about a system that is trying to now establish wetland importance over farmland, and wetland to promote avian this and fish that, you know. And so you're talking about one of the largest wildlife factors contributing to pollution is something they're trying to promote over farm production. And so, you know, it first of all, to the people that are on the ground, it's absolutely senseless. And so really, you know, that seems to be the bottom line, is that the water control is starting to try to take over everything. And even though they aren't willing to acknowledge best available science, it's agenda driven instead. And then they're trying to make excuses and back it up with false statements and stuff, saying it's scientific when in fact it isn't. In fact, our Stevens County Caper Group, we've just recently been working with one of the state's very best scientific minds in the field of hydrogeology, and his name's Steve Neugebauer. And he essentially is the person that could instruct and correct the other scientists, you know. And so what he's saying is that there's all these rules and regulations governing what can be declared wetlands and dangerous to the water supply, because if it's not scientific, it's going to, you know, definitely take over property rights and be unconstitutional in illegal land takings, which is exactly what's happening right now. So we've had him come up and start addressing a lot of the stuff that the Department of Ecology is trying to pass as best available science, when in fact he says absolutely not, and that they have not proven any of this, but they're willing to sell it to anybody that is ignorant enough to accept it.
The best available, you know, junk science that taxpayer dollars can buy.
That's right, exactly. And anymore, the people don't even require them to prove anything. As long as they say it's best available science, they just accept it without question, when in fact the real scientist that can correct them all says, that's not best available science. That's a lie. You know, it's an outright lie on a good majority of what they're trying to push, just because what they're trying to push allows them to take property rights and land. So, but back to that story of what, you know, the farmer with the cows, what happened there in a nutshell, I'll wrap it up faster, is that this guy, for three consecutive years, took water tests right alongside Department of Ecology, where the water came into his farm and where it left his farm, and the cows had full access to that creek, you know, where they could walk in it and drink out of it, graze right down next to it, keep the grass short. And every single year, that water proved to be 300% cleaner when it left his farm than when it went into his farm. And lo and behold, why is that? Because above his farm, where the water was coming from, was a man-made wetland. A wetland where, of course, you've got the major polluting contributors. You've got the birds. You've got, you know, the other situation where the grass grows so tall that it blocks out the sunlight. And when you block out the sunlight from the water, it causes an anaerobic situation in the water, which prevents the UV rays from killing the bacteria. So you end up with a slime covering on the water, the bacteria content shoots through the roof, and then the water's polluted. And luckily for Department of Ecology, there's people like Len McIrvin who have these cows that can actually reach the water in order to keep the grass short so the sunlight can hit the water, kill the bacteria, and clean it back up.
Jeez.
And so you know,
just about a minute left. So, is the state doing anything to intercede for him, or are they sold out to this green cult?
The attorney general is a huge environmentalist. So he's against he doesn't want to even see fact. The governor is a huge greenie, and he wants nothing to do with the Constitution. So that's what we're facing.
Oh, sad. So it's all in the hands of the patriots that are doing the fighting.
We're fighting so hard.
I know. It's tireless and thankless. But I thank you for what you and the others are doing. Could you get some information for the listeners where they can go to learn more, put the website information out there, and then any monthly meetings or a calendar of events or anything like that that you want to talk about?
You bet. Our Stevens County CAPR address is www.capr.us/Stevens/. And Stevens is all capital letters, and it's spelled STEVENS.
Got it. Okay, good deal. And when do you have monthly meetings or just a newsletter that they can sign up for?
Our next meeting is on the 28th of May in Colville at the Colville Library.
Outstanding. Okay, Renee Holliday from CAPR, thank you so much for joining us. We are at the end of our time, but just want to say God bless you for everything that you're doing, and just keep up the great work, and have a safe Memorial Day weekend.
You too. Thank you. God bless.
Thanks. Bye now. All right. Thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Radio Free Redoubt. Don't forget to join us every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. at radiofreeredoubt.com. You can tune in live. And then you have a blessed week. Safe Monday, Memorial Day. Remember what it's all about. And then join us next Saturday right here at KTW, 6:30 a.m. from 11 to noon. This is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too. God bless.